Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. It is January 31st, the last day of the first month, 2022. Hope all is well. Hope everyone did well through the snowstorm. It was pretty exciting. Good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So, Dempsey Fritchie.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Fritchie, close enough. Yeah.
Isn't that right, Fritchie?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's however you want to say it.
Dude,
yeah.
It's a setup for me to fail. And I can remember so much until a name comes in. Then I'm like, oh, I get stage
fright. I'm the same way. Like, when I met everybody, I was just constantly going over their names in my head, trying to remember who was who.
Well, I want to introduce you, and I want to do a podcast with you because, you know, it's great to have guys like you. So you're working with the Dell Tech Communications Program, right?
Yep. Communications department out there. It's a pretty great one.
Yeah, and you are our third intern of the network. Thank you.
Third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm. Well, you know, it's funny. Interning is funny. You know, I think when I think of interns, I think of the Howard Stern Show, you know, and the abuse that interns... You always hear stories of the abuse that interns get, and I don't understand why that is, because I really appreciate an intern, and I really appreciate you helping us out. And
thank you.
You're, you know, young. I mean, at my age, 53, I'm starting to fade a little. So, and technology seems to be going faster and faster. We just were trying to work on a Zoom call, and so it's great to have young people involved doing cool stuff. And so, I just thought it'd be fun to have you on and talk about what your journey is and where you're headed and what you hope for and what do you think of podcasting.
For sure.
All that stuff.
For sure. Well, my journey began in Pennsylvania. I'm not originally from around here.
Pennsylvania's around here.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess so. Of. But it does seem like, you know, it's only, what, 100 miles, but it's definitely a different world.
Yeah.
And I came down here. I've been coming down here since I was about 12, so I knew the area a little bit, but I came down here full-time about 5 years ago.
Nice.
Started going to Dell Tech, started meeting people, definitely fell in love with the area. I don't know if I'll ever leave, but we'll see.
I personally hope you don't leave. I mean, listen, you know, go find love and happiness, but if it takes place here, I'm a big supporter of that, because one of the hard things about having interns is that, you know, they got plans and they're moving on, and Cody was our first intern, and he, you know, he had a plan, and he was with us for a while, and then he proceeded with his plan, which didn't include being here. So it was sad to see Cody leave. And then we had Jake, and Jake was, you know, same thing. He was actually, I think, even in the military. So so now Dempsey, and you seem like you want to hang out around here for
a
while.
I guess if you were from here, you might think, you know, it's a little too laid back. You want to go out and see some other stuff, but that's exactly what I enjoy about this place. You know, it's pretty laid back. You can get to know people. It is growing, the area, but it's still a spot where, you know, you can feel like you're part of the community, like people know each other here, whereas some other more populated areas, just people racing by.
I love that. So you, I reached out to Rob Rector, who is, I guess he runs that department.
Yeah.
And he put me in touch with, I guess, the lady that kind of runs the internship?
Jessica Farley.
Yeah, Ms. Jessica Farley. Farley. Yeah, Miss Farley. Sorry.
Miss Farley to me.
Miss Farley to me, too. I have never met her, so Miss Farley. And she sent me your name, and then we got in contact, and then I had to do a podcast one day. I'm like, just come on down, and I think we were doing the Discovery Music podcast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you jumped right in and became a big help right away, which I appreciate. So it's awesome. And, you know, and you brought already some new ideas, which I love. And but it seems like, you know, everything's constantly changing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a guy that's getting older, it can be overwhelming. So what do you, I mean, what's your experience with podcasting? That seems to be the new kind of thing that's going on. You said you did a couple podcasts on your own.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it was for a podcasting class, of course, one of the requirements for the department. And we were basically given free range to just go out and do anything you want. You know, some kids did cooking shows, stuff like that. I chose something like a weird passion of mine's history.
Oh,
and
cool.
Of course, I really enjoy like military history.
Nice.
And so I've found like a few weird stories from throughout history and stuff people, you know, like you may have known about the event, but maybe not about what this one guy did or how he contributed, or just weird stories that tie into more famous people from history. And so I did that. I went through and just did some World War II stuff, Spartacus, weird stuff like that.
It's weird how the farther along we go and now more information is available, how we look back at some of those big moments in history and start to go, that was different than I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I guess we get so much thrown at us now, we catch a lot of the broad strokes, but the nuances get lost.
Yeah.
So that's what I tried to recapture in the podcast, just some more interesting stuff, because I know everybody's been beaten over the head with history, but, you know, some of the other stuff that we don't know about is pretty interesting.
Well, and we have, you know, climate change is an interesting one. You know, we've going through, obviously, it's a hot topic of climate change, but, you know, history shows that the Earth is constantly changing, and we're actually coming out of more of an ice age.
Mm-hmm.
Melting, everything's melting naturally. Of course, you know, the role that people play in that, I'm not exactly sure because I'm not a climatologist or an expert, and I don't want to claim to be, but it's interesting that, you know, history shows that we're a little bit sort of in a trend anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely, it can be reassuring, and I guess one of the things that I really love about it too is, you know, it's basically like a guide to like what to do and what not to do. You know, like
right.
You can look back and see what other people have already done instead of going out and making the same mistakes and stuff. So as far as the climate and stuff, I don't know anything either.
Right.
But
even if we did, who wants to even say you do? Because you
right.
get your
yeah.
ass chewed out.
Yeah, it's to invite too much commentary. But it does seem like they are pushing it towards, you know, like a seasonal kind of change, if you want to call it that. Like over however many years, the Earth kind of goes through cycles.
Yeah.
The way it wobbles.
There's a wobble.
There's
absolutely a wobble. So what was it like going through the program over at Del Tech? Because I, you know, it's as a father of a 16-year-old who's starting to think about college, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, I think as a parent, ideally, you would love to see your kid go to like some amazing college, right?
Right, right.
And I know that, is it the SEED program that they have over at
they
Delta?
They do, yeah. So I think the way it works, and once again, I'm not from Delaware, but I do have a light grasp on it.
You're in school.
Right, right.
So you're closer than we are.
If you graduate from high school in the state of Delaware, you qualify for the SEED program, and I believe they give you 2 years free.
Right.
So basically, you can get through a Del Tech-like program or another community college or something like that. And you can get through that free and then go on to work on your bachelor's somewhere else where you have to put in another 2 years, depending on how many classes you take, typically 2 years. So the idea is that college in this state should be about half off because you can get your associates for free, basically, and then you have 2 years left of classes. So I think it's a great way to do it.
It's absolutely a great way. And I think I don't know why it isn't more of an option for more people because it's still an education. It's
absolutely,
a great education.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, everybody at Del Tech has been extremely professional, super helpful.
Yeah.
You know, I did do some time at a university in Pennsylvania before I came down here. And I would say I felt like I got more help at Del Tech because there is that like magic zone of like there's just enough people that go there to make you feel like it's a big community.
Right.
But not too many where you get lost.
Yeah, there's enough students to think you're actually getting an education.
Yeah, there's still great class sizes. You're not lost in a 300-person room trying to learn whatever. So it's,
which is awesome because I do remember going to the University of New Mexico and I felt like a small fish in a big tank.
Mm-hmm. Like they could care less if you fail or pass.
Right,
but whereas exactly. Del Tech, that person knows your name. They know how you're doing. They care a little bit. You know, it seems more personal, like a more personal experience.
Well, and at that age, I mean, listen, I'm 53. I think I just figured out what I want to do. I mean, you know, you're in the golf course industry as a side job.
Right.
I mean, you're interested in that. I mean, it's at this age, it's hard to really know what we want to do. I mean, mm-hmm. we're so young.
Mm-hmm. It's so much time and, you know.
So the C program allows you to even see if you're really even committed to even school, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great idea, too. You know, right. If you go and you just push through a semester or two and see if you like it. And then right. if not, you know, no harm, no foul. Right. And another great point that I like to make, too, is say you graduate from Del Tech and you go up and you get a bachelor's from UD. Mm-hmm. Your bachelor's will say you graduated from UD. It's not going to say you went 2 years to Del Tech. So,
and that shouldn't even matter.
Right. Right. It shouldn't. But, you know, for some people that like whatever appearances or stuff like that, but wherever you graduate from, yeah, wherever you graduate from, like that's the name of the university on your degree. So you can definitely save a lot of money going there or similar places doing that stuff.
Well, I think I definitely think it's an option that we're going to look at when it comes time because, you know, our mailbox is full of all these big colleges and, you know, as a dad, I'm like, yeah, it'd be nice to maybe, you know, and I hate to get caught up in that. Mm-hmm. And I'm against getting caught up in that, but at the same time, start to get a little bit caught up in that.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you want to make sure your son or daughter has a chance at least getting a decent education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the cool things, unfortunately, I'm not sure cool is the right word. One of the interesting things that have come from this pandemic is that, you know, I feel like prior to this pandemic, really, if you didn't go to college, you really got kind of punished. No one's ever said that out loud, right? But, you know, 2 years ago, $7 an hour jobs, $8 mm-hmm. an hour mm-hmm. jobs were really all that were available to maybe someone that chose that college wasn't really their route. And now, at least, unfortunately, with inflation, it almost doesn't matter. But,
yeah,
you know, now for my son, he's working at a place downtown and he's making $14 an hour.
Not bad.
And he's only 16. And yeah. That's unheard of.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like 2 years ago, they started me at 14 an hour to go work at the golf course. So,
yeah,
it's definitely changed a lot. And I think, you know, like you said, maybe not cool, but it's definitely a positive thing that came out of it.
Dude, I remember working on a golf course for like $6 an hour.
Yeah, I've heard horror stories like that. Like one of our assistants has told us, like, you know, you guys should be so happy because I did X amount of years at $7 an hour, yep. dragging a hose, working 50 hours a week, doing all this stuff. And
dude, I was at a country club in Maryland, and I was a salaried, and I made $28,000 a year. And you know, it isn't a 40-hour a week job.
Oh no, yeah. If you're one of the guys that they rely on to keep the moisture level just the right, it's whenever they need you there, Saturdays, Sundays, you pretty much live at that golf course.
Ever to grow grass,
mm-hmm.
because we're in that temperature where we can kind of grow bent. But not your. I mean, we can grow it, but it takes a lot of work.
Yeah,
and we're too far north to grow like a Bermuda,
mm-hmm.
you know, which would be ideal because it's definitely a little bit more heat tolerant and a little bit more moisture tolerant. But
we have Bermuda tees on a couple of holes, but we have to tarp them with these special like greenhouse effect tarps for the wintertime.
Yeah,
and they come out electric green in the springtime, look amazing,
bright
for about 2 weeks. Because then they get beat up, cut wrong, something happens, they turn yellow. Wow. So
it's a fun industry. So what's your hopes and dreams?
Well, I would say
That might be a tough question.
It is. It's a tough question, but you know, I mean, I'm just kind of feeling it out. You know, right. I'm not completely against working at the golf course and the industry like that.
Mm-hmm.
There are some opportunities there, some interesting stuff.
What course do you work in?
I work at Baywood Greens.
At Baywood.
Yep. And like you were saying, for the weather, we call it the Baywood bubble. We don't know what there is over that course, but
right.
You know, even when it rains, goes right around us, like there's some kind of magical force field. There's like always something, like whatever you wish would happen never happens. There's yeah. always the opposite.
No, I agree. And that's that. And in the summer we could go, you know, people say, oh, this is the coldest winter I think we've ever had. I go, no, I mean, I've worked outside,
yeah.
you know, I've been in the hair business now for 15 years, but up until that point, I worked outside every day, rain,
mm-hmm.
sun, snow. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
And, we've had some cold winters.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, this one, I would say up until maybe the last month or so, it was been super mild, like unheard of. It was like 60 degrees for a while, all the way into like December. And,
right.
You know, in this last month, we've definitely got hammered with a few snowstorms. But even still, the temperatures outside have not been super cold. Like I remember last year, we had a couple 2-degree days with the wind chill. Those can be pretty brutal, but
so you're not working on the golf course now, are you?
I am, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You are?
Yeah. So it's right now is probably the slowest time of year for us. Like today, there's not much to do. You can't do anything with. There's 2 feet of snow drifts all over the fairways.
So
and stuff.
You guys don't have to like clear the parking lots. You don't have to.
No. So the way our course is set up, there's the turf management crew. So okay. we basically, you know, manicure the greens and do whatever like that. And then there's another section called horticulture, and it's their job to really kind of take care of more of the landscaping side of it. So flowers, mulch, and they deal with a lot of the snow and clearing that away. So they drew the short straw on that one this weekend. They had to come in and clear the townhouses and everything like that around the course.
It's funny because I worked at Baywood. I told you that. I was the assistant superintendent there, and it was going through this transition. You know, everybody looks at Baywood now, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing. But mm-hmm. when I started working there, the front nine was the only part of the course that was open, and there was no flowers. There was no clubhouse. There was a trailer at the driving range. Maybe. I don't even know. I know that at one point, the clubhouse was this little building. I don't even know what it is now. It's been so long.
It could be our pro shop. There's a pro shop there now.
So the pro shop. So if the pro shop is the same pro shop that is in the same place, it's not the pro shop isn't part of the big club.
No, the clubhouse is a separate building.
Okay, so basically everything kind of ran out of the pro shop at the time. There was a big tent that covered. Do they have the cart tent still?
There's no tent. We do have a little lot where we park them, and then they return. We have like we call it the cart barn.
Yeah,
it's basically the underneath of the clubhouse. Okay. It's just a big garage.
So there was a big transition that was going on when I was working there, and Warren Goldie, I think his name was, and he was a horticulturalist, flower guy out of Lewis. I don't know if I think Warren's still alive. I think, but Warren came in, and I remember he transformed that place with flowers.
Oh yeah. For and sure. They still do it.
Yeah, he nailed it out of the park. I mean, it was awesome.
That's kind of like our interdepartment joke is like we'll say the people are here for the greens, and then the horticulture guys go, they come to see the flowers.
They come to see the flowers. Well, and I just saw, in fact, my son, David, he goes to Sussex Academy, and he does cross country. And Rob Tunnel, the owner, his daughter is also, his daughter and my son ran together. So we went to the end of the season kind of little dinner thing mm-hmm. over at, I think it was at, I don't know, one of the restaurants down in Lewis. And I saw Rob and because I got fired. got fired from
right,
there.
Right.
And but it wasn't anything that I had done. What it was is there was just a lot of craziness going on at the time. There mm-hmm. was a big transitions going on and there was something done. And it was just very interesting. And, you know, I felt it was just tough. So it was fine. I moved on, ended up working at another country club for another 4 or 5 years. And but I saw Rob, and I shook his hand and just reintroduced myself. And it was good to kind of say hi to him because, you know, it was a little emotional too, getting fired from
right,
my
right.
first assistant superintendent's
right.
job. But one of the tough things about that business is that, you know, at the time when I started working there, there was a super, and you know, the super comes in, starts the project, right? He's doing all the installs, getting the grass growing. You know, he's carrying all of the weight on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then usually you get to a point where you need to bring an assistant. You just can't do it all. And that transition was tough, mm-hmm. you know, because I was an assistant and I didn't really feel like I had a role because all the group, the team that had been working under the super, that was their quarterback, right?
Right.
And so all of a sudden I'm now the new quarterback or the assistant quarterback, so mm-hmm, to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just tough for him to relinquish certain responsibilities and to me find my spot in there. So it just kind of became it was tough.
That's kind of the similar situation as to what we just went through. So I've been working there for about 2 years. I've gone through two summers. It'll be 2 years in April.
Yeah.
So right before I started in April, they hired two new assistants in January. So that was kind of like the same thing we went through is we had our super, Jamie, and he had worked there for, you know, over a decade.
Yeah, everybody he probably knows came in right when I was leaving. He may have replaced me. I don't even know.
Yeah. You might. I think, I'm not sure if he came on as an assistant or if he jumped right into the super spot. He might have. But that's kind of it. So, like, we have our two assistants, and, you know, they tell us what they want us to do. But, you know, everybody knows it's really coming from Jamie. So it's like when they try to get you off on their little projects, people kind of look at them sideways like, oh, I don't know if we should listen to you.
Well, it's always a tough business because even when I was at the different club, you'll always find that. And unfortunately, becoming the assistant, you become kind of like, you know, you're not one of the guys anymore.
You're somewhere in between the guy that makes the rules and everybody else.
Yeah, it's like purgatory.
Yeah.
But I don't want to, you know, this is definitely not, I don't want to badmouth Baywood. We love Baywood.
Oh, they for
do
sure.
An
absolutely.
An amazing job. In fact, I just, when I was talking to Rob, I was asking because they got that whole third nine on the other mm-hmm, side of 24. Side,
they are developing that. They're clearing out a lot of the woods.
Yeah.
I would also just like to say shout out to Baywood Greens because we were number one on Golf Digest for public courses last year in the state.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a great place.
Yeah, they're the benchmark.
Yeah.
They do a nice job. So no ill feelings. I love everybody over there. But it was just, the point is it's a tough business.
Mm-hmm,
and then
sure.
On top of that, you know, it's hotter than hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, all summer there's a lot of stuff to do to maintain the course at that level that we try to keep it at. And, you know, you got to go in early. And then you got to go in early the next day and the following day. And then every third weekend we work. So it's definitely like super labor intensive.
Well, I started working on the golf course. I guess we'll just talk about golf courses for a little bit.
Okay.
I started at Rehoboth Beach under Eddie Brown and Tom List. And that was in 1996. And that golf course, which is a beautiful course now, but we didn't have automated irrigation. We didn't have a lot of the bells and whistles that you can get now when you run a golf course. So there were times where I would basically come in at 9 o'clock at night with a flashlight in the golf cart and a pair of needle nose pliers. And I would go from head, irrigation head.
Right.
We used to have to water the whole golf course.
So you'd have to turn them on manually?
Yeah. Well, first I'd have to turn on these pumps, right? And then
charge
I would
the lines.
Yeah, I'd get everything charged, and it would. We had blowouts along the pond, so mm-hmm. I would go pop a head, go shut some valves, pop another head, shut some valves. Finally, get the balance so I could have all the heads running. And when I say all the heads, usually one fairway head per fairway, and then get the other valve shut. And I'm running around, and this is at 9 o'clock at night with a flashlight and a pair of needle nose pliers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ride on the right side of the golf cart, you know, with your hand holding the left of the steering wheel, and I'd pull up to the head. And I'd shine the light in it, and I'd shove the needle nose down in the little hole there, and I'd start twisting because this is 50 years of irrigation, you know, people using these needle nose, so you barely could get a grip onto any plastic. And you'd get something, and
right.
Boom, that thing would pop open, and the water, I didn't know which way it was shooting.
Yeah, you never know which way the head's facing the last time it rested.
Yeah, and then I'd just hit the gas and then head on to the next head, so... I mean, that was awesome. Those are some great days in my life, you know. And
right.
That's when I became the irrigation technician, working my way up to the golf course and then eventually going to Rutgers. So it was fun.
We just lost our irrigation tech. You might have known him. His name was Pete.
Pete,
Good old Pete. Of course.
So Pete came into Baywood. Mark Cody was the superintendent over there. And Pete, you know, it was so funny. We lifted weights. Pete's a big dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I lifted weights with those big guys and pulled my back. Oh, my God. Never hang out with the muscle heads.
He was giving us pointers, man. He said, you got to keep it tight when you lift.
Yeah, you got to keep it tight. Well, I kept it tight, but my mind wasn't, and then something popped. Mm-hmm. I always say, my kids ask me, do you have any regrets, Daddy? I say, yeah, deadlifting with Mark Cody.
He just retired, so, congratulations to him.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I know we've met. I doubt he would remember me, but
he is awesome. Yeah.
I thought maybe he became the assistant.
I think he was an interim for a moment.
Yeah.
Until they got some other people.
Yeah.
But he headed the irrigation tech department, whatever you want to call it. It was really him and an apprentice he was training to take his place.
Well, you talk about being early. There was when I became the assistant over at Talbot, I used to, I think I had to be to work at 6. I think that's when I had to be there. And I'd get to work at, 6:30 or 5:30, just, mm-hmm. I'm an assistant, right? I got to be there early.
Right.
The superintendent would be walking the greens in the dark, mm-hmm. shoving soil probes in and squeezing sand. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is insane. So then I started coming to work at 5:30. Or then I started coming to work at 5. And then, I may have never even gone home if I hadn't put my foot down and said, listen, I can only do so much.
They'll take as much as you'll give
them. They'll keep taking.
Yeah.
And when your salary... The numbers just don't add up.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a rough time.
In the summertime, we start earlier as the tee times move up, so we kind of keep the same gap before the tee times.
Right.
But say they move the tee times all the way up, then we got to come in at like 5:30 in the morning. And then I really feel bad because we have our spray techs that have to go out before us.
Yeah.
So some days they're getting there at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So that is an early day to be coming in and...
And Baywood's tough because you just don't, when I was at Rehoboth, you could cut across the golf course. There's really, it's kind of just a track. There's mm-hmm. and it's surrounded by woods and stuff. So there's no, you can't cut through, a few fairways to get over to the other side of the course. You almost have to go all the way around.
Yeah. The layout, the travel time and the distance of that course definitely adds to it. I think that's part of the reason why the staff there is a little larger than most courses.
Right.
It's just because the travel time really sets back the productivity of, how much you can do in a day. So there's so many, so much layout and so far spaced out and stuff.
I always think it's funny when, and you could relate to this, when people, we went through this time where, a lot of nitrogen was being used. It was ending up in the bays and we were getting a lot of, I don't know, whatever grows in water when you give it a lot of nitrogen, something, right? And it was mucking up the bays, and everybody wanted to blame the golf courses.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you talk to anybody on a golf course, especially a spray tech, especially a superintendent, they're not wasting anything. Measured all out. We have a certain area. Mm-hmm. We're not spraying anything other than exactly what we have to spray.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think golf course. It's fair that we blame golf courses. Usually it's Johnny Homeowner.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking running that spreader mm-hmm. around and shooting nitrogen everywhere. They're usually the culprit.
And in an area such as this, too, we have a lot of farmland and stuff. It's definitely something you can't pinpoint exactly on a golf course when there's this much chemical going around.
Well, and farmers are the same way. Chemicals are expensive.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
There's no wasting it. That stuff is very expensive. Mm-hmm. So it is measured to the ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is put exactly where it has to go.
Oh, they stick to that budget for sure. The course is king. Absolutely, yeah. Even though, it doesn't matter how well or bad they're doing, they'll stick to that budget.
It was funny. I was at Wawa right before the storm hit, and someone had gone through there probably, whoever maintains their parking lot, and just covered it in salt. It looked like... it was like
just driving on salt at that point.
Well, and everybody had driven on it, so it was like crushed little crust. Okay. It was just salt. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, they really salted that. they covered that pretty well.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny. So, do you think? Is that a thought? Is maybe moving up the ranks in that kind of business?
I'm not totally against it. I've always said if it pays the bills, it pays the bills. Sometimes jobs.
I know for me, and I kind of got lowered in because, it is an early job, but you mm-hmm. end up kind of, it becomes a team, a group. You're guys.
We're all in it together. Yeah,
getting
for
your
sure.
mowers ready, getting your gas. You mm-hmm. kind of work together, mm-hmm. and that camaraderie on that, especially in that on the course, it's fun.
It is.
It's a good time.
It is.
But eventually you're like, God, I don't want to just mow greens all my life.
Right.
So that's when you move up into the management side, mm-hmm. and then the fun just kind of pours out of your Uggs.
Yeah, and then it becomes, you know, yeah. Now you're that guy that's in between the two groups.
Yeah, now you're that bad guy. Well, how's your experience been over at Dell Tech? You say you've enjoyed it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, for sure. All the teachers have been great. Like I said, the class sizes are a good size, so if you ever need help or have a question, you know, they always have time for you. You're never just kind of hung out to dry, which, like I was saying, at a larger school, like if you were going to go for your first 2 years and just try to complete your gen eds and stuff like that, you can get lost in translation. And even if you had a simple question about some English or math or something, you know, it might be difficult to get in contact with somebody that has to attend to 300 students, whereas Dell Tech has been great, like a personal experience.
Well, that's awesome to hear, because I was the guy that got lost in college.
Yeah.
And I liked that.
That's why I left the university. I went up there and I had a chemistry class with 400 people in it. And I went, you know, I'm terrible at chemistry. I was like, this isn't my thing. So I got up and I was like, yeah, I'm going to Delaware.
Yeah. I'm going to go try this somewhere else.
Yeah, so I got to get out of here.
So when you started doing the communication program, did you have some thought in mind of maybe a direction you were also thinking about maybe checking out?
You know, I mean, I guess like in a perfect world, magical dream job, I always thought it was like super cool to see, because I'm from Philadelphia area, and I've been a huge Philly sports fan my whole life. So Sixers, Flyers, Eagles, Phillies, all that.
Boo, Eagles.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Last team to beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Hey, now, let's slow down. Take it easy. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Oh, okay. So that's even worse.
So somehow. We hate each other. No, I rooted for, when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl, I rooted for the Eagles. I do know some people that, like, when their team is done, mm-hmm. they're done.
Right. They're just tapped out.
And I'm a big fan of, I'd like to say sports, but, like, I don't care much for basketball, and I'm not a big fan of hockey.
Oh, I love basketball.
Yeah, for some reason, I struggle with that one, but I'm a big fan of football, and you know, I love just good sports, mm-hmm. right? I love good football, so mm-hmm. when my team is out, I just find another team I like and
yeah, absolutely,
keep
yeah.
going. Mm-hmm. I don't just bail.
Yeah.
Philly fans are pretty dedicated.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know, you got to kind of root for your team, of course. But there's definitely, like, especially with basketball, there's definitely, like, certain players, no matter what team they're on, I'll watch them if they're on.
Do you watch the Lakers?
Are
you a fan of LeBron James?
I was going to get there. It's one of those things where you have to appreciate that we're living in a time where in 50 years people are going to wish they could watch him play live.
Yeah.
So, like, I do appreciate him as a generational player, but, you know, it's, for me, it might be kind of blasphemous to say, I just don't think he's that exciting. Like,
yeah.
like I know he's big and strong, and he can dunk the ball and do whatever. He's LeBron James. He's great. But, like, there's just something, like, whereas I enjoy watching, like, Kyrie Irving, if you know who he is.
Sure.
Like, really great ball handles, and, like, it's just, like, I find that kind of stuff
Brooklyn?
Super. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if he's vaccinated now, but he did the Aaron Rodgers fake arm move.
Hey, you can't play here, but this town's not as strict, so you could play there.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah. I heard they were even going to develop their own Kyrie vaccine, like an organic vaccine for him, which has the same active ingredients.
You mean inoculated?
Yeah.
I think Aaron Rodgers found out that is not a great route.
Yeah.
I love you. He goes, I might have said some things that were misleading. That's on me.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, did he apologize?
Did he say...
Was that the sorry, or what was that?
He said I had antibodies or something like that. And
he's
being super ambiguous when he was describing it.
This pandemic and this COVID has really tested us, right? It's mm-hmm. been it's been interesting, so...
Oh, so back what I was saying is, as far as like dream job, perfect world, whatever, at the Wells Fargo Center, they have the camera guys.
Okay.
So I always thought that was like super cool to like... If you could be the guy that shoots the game to be broadcast live on television.
Yeah.
Because you're at work, sure, but you also kind of get free season tickets to home games because you're at the game, you know? So I always thought that'd be cool because the Flyers and the Sixers both play in the same arena, so.
Do you think there is an opening for that job?
I have seen them pop up. I've seen them pop up here and there. Even a department alerted us once or twice about a possible opportunity up there. It's one of those things, you got to get the timing lucky, you know.
There was a friend of mine, Bill, who was doing some. We were doing a sports podcast. In fact, because I love that. I love sports, but I think I love watching shows that talk about sports almost just as much. Mm-hmm. So we.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm like, I want to do a sports podcast. The problem is, I'm really not very smart in like players' names. Defense and
statistics and stuff like that. I'm definitely not well versed enough to be spouting off.
I feel like you need to know that kind of stuff. Yeah. So. I'm like, I don't think we should do this. But
we should do like sports for people who casually enjoy sports.
Right. And now it's become so much gambling. It's insane. But
oh, man, yeah.
My buddy Bill was working, I think, with Fox Sports. And when the COVID hit, he was out of work. And he was telling me that a lot of these networks are doing a lot of stuff remotely now. Like they have a trailer somewhere, but they're doing all of the production and the camera work from the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who knows what that's going to end up looking like.
Yeah, a lot more opportunity there as people start to work more remotely, I guess, instead of all coming together to work in the same area.
Yeah. Did you watch any football this weekend?
I caught a little bit at the end of the Bengals game.
Joey Burrow.
Yes, sir.
Dude's a man, beast.
Yep. I don't think he's going to win the Super Bowl.
Uh-oh.
Just because, you know, it does, you know, I hate to be one of those people, but, you know, Stafford has put in his dues, and I just think the universe is going to give it to him.
Well, I did not think that they were going to beat Kansas City.
No, I didn't either.
So,
but I think that's a good thing for Stafford as well, because I think he'd rather play Burrow in the Super Bowl than Mahomes.
I don't know, man. It's so funny because, like, last week, Kansas City looked unstoppable. It mm-hmm. was there was really not much defense.
When they're running on all cylinders, it's like, just get out of their way.
But yesterday, it was interesting to watch that because at some point, he didn't have anybody to throw to. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was running around like everybody's covered.
Yeah,
and they kept sacking him.
That right there might have been dangerous for him because, you know, other teams are going to look at that tape and say, like, look how they beat him.
Yep.
We got to recreate this. And once they find your Achilles heel, them defensive coordinators will exploit that.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, once they got your number.
Well, and I'm also on your – I do agree. I'm between a rock and a hard place because I love the fact, like, you know, I don't know when the Bengals have been to the Super Bowl. If they've – I'm right. sure they have at some point, but it's been a hot minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I know Cincinnati and the whole state of Ohio is just having a day, right? Because
right.
it's like – this is the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that story. And then you have Matthew Stafford, who, you know, was basically at Detroit for 14 years.
Let's talk about purgatory.
Purgatory. The Detroit purgatories. And then to finally come into the Rams and then to have this kind of season. So, yeah, he is due. And I agree. And I like that story, too. So this will be a fun Super Bowl.
I'm pretty sure that Ohio beat Michigan earlier this year.
I thought Michigan beat Ohio.
Oh, no, Michigan. Oh, Michigan lost in the next game. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, all right. Well, now I was going to say they got their win for the year, but maybe Cincinnati and Ohio, they do deserve it.
See, I pulled those facts up. Maybe we should start a sports podcast again.
Yeah.
Well,
it is. I think either way, it's going to make a lot of people happy, but personally, I'd like to see Stafford get one.
So what do you like about podcasting? What kind of...
Well, I just like how broad it is, really. Like, you know, I'm kind of a person that's into everything and anything. So I think it's really cool how you can get super focused on one thing and people will find it and listen to it. You know, no matter how, you know, niche it might be, it's one of those things.
Well, what I've learned through podcasting is what I love about podcasting for me is that, you know, anybody can do it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You
don't that's true too.
You know, you don't have to be have a master's degree in mm-hmm. podcasting. You know, it's just a voice. You know, to me, podcasting is a habit. Mm-hmm. It's a habit business. You know, I always say, because we were putting out, and we were just working on the contracts and stuff, but we were putting out like 10 podcasts, 12 podcasts at one point. And no, I think it was 13, in fact. And, you know, people get excited. Oh, I want to do podcasts. I'm like, I love it. And,
right.
You know, you get started, but then the kind of the grind starts, right? You got to mm-hmm. keep showing up because people that start to listen to your podcast, I know for me, I love podcasts and I like the habit. Everything that I really enjoy is kind of habit.
Right.
You know, the shows that I'll watch today, the Pat McAfee show, First Take, it's a habit. I do it every day and it's part of my routine. And when they stop, then you're like, what happened?
Right. You feel like something's missing.
Yeah, something's missing out of your life. So I think that, you know, obviously depending on the topic and how well you do it. But I think if you do it once a week or a couple times a week and you stay with it, you can build an audience.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's like 2 million podcasts out now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see or have you been following any of the... Do you watch Joe or listen to Joe Rogan's podcast?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Neil Young incident.
Yeah, so the Neil Young incident, which is, you know... you know,
I thought it was a weird hill to die on for him.
It's a weird hill to die on, considering that he's always, you know, he's been kind of against, you know, I mean, he wrote that song about Ohio State. I mean, it was, you know, he's always been on that, to me, one of the kind of leading kind of a protest, kind of open to that idea. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, yeah, it was a weird hill to die on. And so
it seemed like there was a lot of focus on Joe at the moment. And everybody was looking at him, and then out of nowhere, Neil Young popped up. And
well, what bothered me really about it is that it's like Neil Young is not allowing us to be able to take information and process it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know the exact two podcasts that really has upset a lot of people. It was a Dr. Peter McCullough, who was he's a brilliant doctor. I mean,
it's the
guy
horse
is,
medicine.
Yeah, he's...
That's what it is.
No, not the horse medicine. It was the ivermectin.
Yeah, I think that's what got people.
Yeah, that's what got people. But there was a couple podcasts. I really enjoyed the Peter McCullough podcast. I thought mm-hmm. it was very informative. There were things about it, you know, I had to think about. One of the things I think he said was that if you had caught COVID, you couldn't catch it twice. I think that was one of the topics that upset people so badly. And whether it's true or not, I don't know. And we definitely don't want to start any trouble. But
there's a lot of variants now. So who?
Yeah, there's variances. So, but I remember. And then the other guy that was what everybody was all upset about. I did watch that podcast, and I didn't find it very interesting. I didn't even watch it. In fact, I was like, eh. But I can think.
Right, 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 right.
You can think.
Absolutely.
And so I guess the point was Joe Rogan put out a video this morning and was like, hey man, I'm going to put out this video because there's a lot of controversy right now.
Right.
And he's like, I'm sorry. He goes, I'm not an expert in anything. I just like to provide a platform with people and have conversations. And he listed off a few things that he thought he could do better. You know, maybe if he does have a hot topic like that, maybe he could also have someone that has the opposite opinion and maybe, mm-hmm. you know, so we mm-hmm. can get both sides of it. He's willing to try to do different things. You know, he's not this guy, I don't know him, obviously, but the person that wants to create a lot of controversy.
Right.
He just likes conversation.
That's the thought I had when I saw the whole thing about, you know, you have to remove it by this time or I'm going to have my music removed and all this. The first thought I had is, what was Joe thinking? Because he had to have been sitting there thinking like, oh, no, I'm going to get Neil Young taken off Spotify and I didn't even do anything.
Well, and he says in the video, he goes, I'm a big fan of Neil Young. He goes, I actually was working security once, his last security job, at a Neil Young concert. And he's like, I love Neil Young.
That was the first thought I had is like Joe is probably holding his head in his room thinking like, what have I done? I didn't mean for any of this to happen.
Yeah, so it's – but podcasts have a powerful platform. And mm-hmm.
I do think you're right though. Like, you know, I think – you know, I get what Neil Young's trying to do and I get where Joe's coming from. But I think at that point you kind of got to leave it up to the listener to interpret
right.
it.
Absolutely. And I thought Spotify made a good point. They're like, how can we take Joe Rogan down, but then we have tons of, you know, whether it's rap or whatever other styles of music that are played on Spotify, there's some things said in songs
mm-hmm.
that, you know, like I'm not even a big fan of when the N-word is used. I mean,
right.
I feel like that's kind of this weird thing, and I get uncomfortable when it's used a lot. Not that it really matters, but, you know, they could go through and pick out a lot of stuff that mm-hmm. they would take down.
Yeah,
it's
definitely
the
a slippery slope. Yeah, is what you're going to create.
So, hopefully they get it worked out. I love Neil Young. He's big Pearl Jam fan, and you know Pearl Jam loves Neil Young, and Neil Young loves Pearl Jam. So of course I love everything they love. And and he's put out a lot of great music. And actually, it looks like he moved everything over to Sirius, and they're having a good time with that. So hopefully it all works out. But it's just. It's interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's, you know, it's just one of those things after the last year or two we've had. It's just like a weird public commentary move to kind of put yourself up like that and try and decide for other people. Right. Instead, like, because I feel like the whole conversation, like even the country's been having in public, is just like, you know, we all need to kind of decide for ourselves what you want to do.
And, you know, you watch these football games. I mean, I don't know how many people were there at Kansas City going, oh,
right, right.
You know, they're all barking out, uh-huh. No masks.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I can't have one person in my salon with without a mask on. And I'm like, the messages are weird.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where as Americans, we like our freedom, and sometimes that kind of puts us in a weird middle ground.
It does.
Yeah.
It's fun. Are you a big fan of music?
I am, yeah. Pretty much everything. I would say before I moved down here, I didn't like country, but I guess that's growing on me, too.
Stay strong, Dempsey. Don't let them get you. It's not even called country music now. It's called big truck music.
Big truck, yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
There's one of the girls in the salon. She's like, I'm like, what are we listening to? She goes, it's big truck music. I'm like, okay.
My buddy calls country music farm emo, like emotional farm music.
Oh, that's funny. You know, we do the Discovery Music podcast, and one of the things I'm always blown away by is all the different titles. You know, you got pop, indie pop, rock, rap. I can't even name them all, but now we have emo farm music.
Yeah, that's kind of like
new category.
Yeah, because if you listen to it, a lot of the country music is like, you know, it's kind of sad or. I don't know. It's just kind of like, you know, she left me. I got to drink beer now.
Well, I always say it's pop music with the country twang.
It is,
because
yeah,
it's all, you know, it's kind of all the same thing, just different way of presenting
it. You know, it is. I like the genre. You know, it has its place for sure. But they definitely share a lot of similarities. Like, you know, my truck, don't touch my truck.
Yeah. Well, I'm a rock guy. I've always been a rock guy, but. You know, as I get older, I enjoy definitely different kinds of music, and I like Adele. I think Adele does a great job.
Oh, yeah, good music's good music.
But the problem with Adele is, and she did that concert with Oprah, I don't know, it's probably been a couple months now, but I told my wife, we were watching it, we were enjoying it, but I go, you know, the only problem with Adele is that all relationships are going to end.
Yeah, she's got to make an album.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't look good, you know, Fools in Love, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of is funny because it's, I don't know if you followed any of her story, but she was going to do a residency in Vegas. And initially she had said, and this is all just stuff I've read, I'm not an expert, but
right. She
initially said that the COVID had wrecked her production team. So she was going to have to postpone her show.
Oh.
And then it came out that she didn't particularly care for the show. And now it's come out that she's really going through some struggles with her boyfriend.
Oh, man.
And that she's inconsolable.
So she's going to make a new album.
She's got to make a new album about this breakup.
We have a great batch of music on the way.
Yeah, just, it's wringing your hands right now.
It's got to hold on.
Get your tissues, because it's going to be very sad. Well, I like I said, I love having you here. We've, you'll see, we're putting out six podcasts now. Consistently.
Right.
Habitually,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun. And I don't know how many other networks are around here. As of right now, I think we're the only one, which is fun. It's not like a lot of responsibility. There's nobody, you know, we don't have anybody. We don't make any money, which is good. So we don't have to be pressed by advertisers.
Yeah, yeah. We're driven by creative freedom.
Yeah. So how long are you going to be with us?
Well, hour-wise, they've mapped it out. It's about 180 hours. I guess that'll take place from now till about May, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's looking like 4 or 5 months or so.
Well, I told you this, and the door's open if you want
to. Yeah, absolutely. That's just
part of this.
4 or 5 months to, you know, fill the school's requirements, and then, you know, who knows how long after that we'll have.
Well,
to see.
My goal has always been to try to start a podcast to create enough revenue to pay somebody to work at the network.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I told you that the other day, you know, if we can start working for advertisements and maybe start creating a little revenue, I'd love to find a position, a production. It's a wide berth position, I suppose,
right,
you know, but it's like production. Social media, I think is I think where I struggle, and I think that's just my age. You know, it gets I'm like, you know. So
there's a new trend every week.
Yeah, new trend, new hashtag, new at this that a loop, a story, a reel. It's like I can't keep up with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I've seen very successful podcasts that don't do any social media. So It's not the utmost importance to have success. I think it's more about content, but. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to put it out there a little bit. Try to get some people to see it. The Discovery Music Podcast is becoming quite interesting. You know, we did a lot of the Firefly stuff, and now we're having artists. We had Teddy Beats. We had Eyeball. They're both Eyeball's a band out of Baltimore. Teddy Beats is upstate. I think he's in Philly. He might, but they've both been on the podcast now. They were both at Firefly. We had the band Black Circle on last week. You were here for that. Mm-hmm. That podcast, oh, dude, that it sounded fantastic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think it was because we had the audio out of Dropbox.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly, because I know that they had to send you the MP3s because their album was on CD.
Yeah, they sent us CDs to give away, which is awesome, but I'm like, I don't even have a way of playing this thing. So they ended up sending us all the digital MP3s, but my God.
So you kind of got them like straight from the tap there, I guess.
Straight from the tap, and me and Tim were talking about how great it sounds, and I'm like, shoot. Because, and to wrap this whole story around to the beginning, you know, Neil Young had pulled his music off Spotify at one time because he said the audio wasn't as good.
Right.
And I like audio. I like good sounds, and mm-hmm. I didn't really notice. But when we played those audio tracks, those MP3 tracks that Black Circle sent us, now I realize, wow.
Yeah.
We are losing some audio quality.
I think it's one of those things where, like you said, like if you play it and they're all kind of on the same plane, you won't notice. But once you get one that sounds really good and you listen to that, it's hard to go back and not hear the difference.
Yeah. So, but that was fun. We had those guys on, and now this week we have Matt Vanzetti coming on the podcast. He's a guy from upstate who's a rapper who puts out great music. And so he's coming on the podcast next week. And then Billy Lucas, the owner of Taco Rio, is going to come and do a guest spot and bring some music that he's into now. So
best tacos I've ever had.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we ate there yesterday. Check out Taco Rio. Fantastic food. A lot of hard
the
work.
The best.
Yeah, the best.
I had ones that almost came close in California. It's kind of funny, man. The best tacos right here in Delaware.
Well, and that's a hard comparison because California, it's a way of life.
It is, yeah.
Here, it's kind of unique.
That's just my own personal palate.
Right, no. But, you know, California, there's a taco shop on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Taco Rio is really breaking out and trying to do something really new. When I'd moved here, and I told this to Billy on the podcast, I go, I moved here, and it was all crab cakes, pizza, and cheesesteaks. There was no burritos, no tacos, no taquitos, no quesadillas. And, you know, we had Taco Bell, of course. And then we've had, what was the place? There was another taco shop. I forget. In fact, he closed. I think he sold it. But so Taco Rio is really coming out and doing this a little bit on their own. And they're doing it so well that they're really standing out.
Oh, yeah. Every time someone comes down to visit, that's like, I was like, if you're going to come down here, you got to go to the beach if it's nice enough, and we got to go to Taco Rio because you got to try these tacos.
It's amazing. It's good stuff. So podcasts are doing well. I appreciate you coming in. I look forward to working with you and learning from you. And I don't know it all. And like I told you before, listen, if you're having any challenges, always talk to me.
I'm excited to do my best.
Because I can be a bit of a pain in the ass sometimes. So just, you know, say, Tom, you're being a pain in the ass, and then I'll snap out of it.
I know you told me you've had really good help and really bad help. So I'm just going to maintain we're going to shoot for somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. It's, you know, and I think that it's really about what you want to do. You know, I mean, if something in this kind of industry is something that you're looking forward to doing, you know, then you're into it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not into it, and you're just doing it for the credits and the hours.
Oh no, I'm into it for sure.
And I could tell, and I appreciate that. And hopefully we can figure out how to make some revenue and pay you and keep you around because you're a great addition.
Appreciate it, thank you.
Listen, I just wanted to have you on, a little chat, catch up, and I'll see you this week when you're interning.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
See you.
Bye.